The 1-900 Wrestling Program is brought to you, as always, by Patreon.com/1900Wrestling. Folks, thanks to your largesse, we are now officially going to the New Japan G1 Special in San Francisco, California, the historic Cow Palace Auditorium. Oh, so exciting. So pumped. That's because of you guys. But you want to know what? We're giving you value back for your money. Not just us doing the show for free. That's always going to be free. How about this one, huh? How about you go ahead and get on in our patron-only Discord? This is a Discord so goddamn popular, some one of you wily rascals tried to post it on Reddit because it's obviously the place to be. It's the best thing going today. Come be a part of it, but you got to pay the troll toll to get in, and that is our Patreon. Patreon.com/1900Wrestling. But enough talking about how we support the show. What do you say we just do the damn thing?
I want you to call me for all of wrestling's latest news and views. I've been involved in wrestling for 35 years, and nobody knows wrestling like me. Remember the number, 1-900 Wrestling!
Ladies and gents, we're back for another episode of 1-900 Wrestling. My name is Justin Robert Young. Joining me, as always, Willie Dills Gregory. How you doing, homie?
I'm actually glad my weekend is over because I was looking forward to it for a long time, and I just spent way too much time in the hot Texas sun, and now I get to sit in my nice, cool apartment and play video games today after I do the show with you.
So, you went out what? Golfing.
2 days of golf. It was a little bit too much. Originally, the plan was there was a big punk and drublick festival on Saturday, which is
a what now?
No effects. Have you heard of this?
The what?
Do you know about this? The punk and drublick festival.
Punk and drumlet festival.
Punk in drublick festival, like drunk in public. But yes,
drunk in public. Gotcha. Okay.
Yes. And so it's like a craft beer tasting and giant punk rock festival. And we were supposed to have a bunch of backstage passes. We were going to VIP. We were going to get to taste all the beers, all this stuff. And somebody fucked up.
didn't
do their job in the permitting department. And they had to postpone the show until September 22nd.
Wait a minute. Oh, the whole show got the fucking canned?
Yeah.
Wait a minute. All right. So when do you find out, like, that this whole thing has just totally been shit can?
When I text, like, 2 days before the guy who's supposed to be getting me on the list, and I ask, like, okay, so what do I need to know? Like, where do I got to go? Am I on a list, or is there going to be tickets waiting for me somewhere? What am I doing? He goes, oh, yeah, the show's not happening.
Oh, my God.
So, I had told a bunch of people. We were going to have a caravan of people that were going to come. We had six backstage VIP tickets, they did say that if you wanted to drive up to Dallas for the next day, which is on Sunday, they would honor all Austin tickets at the Dallas show.
Oh, so this was a tour.
It's a tour, yeah.
Gotcha.
And in fact, they're doing an entire like 3-day event in Ohio at some point, which is like camping and all this kind of stuff. It's pretty crazy. And it was gonna be so fun, and then it got canceled. So then we decided, okay, we're just gonna like golf the entire weekend instead. So, golfed on Saturday, played pool all night, got up at 7:30, the butt crack of dawn or whatever. It was really early when I got up. It was earlier than that, I think, to drive up to Bastrop and play golf again. So instead, we just turned it into a less drunk, still in public.
Yeah.
Mostly golfing.
Mostly golfing excursion. Yeah. So wait, are these all people that are local, or did anybody like come in special to go to this Austin?
No, nobody drove in to go to the Austin show. Luckily, it's all people that I know that I hang out with here. But yeah, it was annoying. It was dumb. I've been looking forward to this for a long time.
Now let me.
No Effects, Bad Religion, Mad Caddies, a whole bunch of other.
Oh
bands.
Jesus! So it was that's a hell of a show too. And I bet you like that kind of those sort of shows are really great now because those are bands that really. You're there with fans at this point, right?
Sure.
Like, there's not a lot of, like, just random, like, I heard them on the radio kind of attendance.
Yeah, and like Bad Religion and NOFX, that was always the thing that you would see at like Warped Tour.
Yeah,
Warped Tour would just be like this giant just mess of just teenage, like 13-year-olds and 14-year-olds figuring out what's cool and what's not for the first time.
Yes.
And yeah, those are like, okay, I don't know if you've ever heard this, but you know, if like if you see like a bunch of gangbangers, a bunch of questionable youth,
sure,
who are like maybe in their late teens, early 20s.
Yeah,
I don't care about like that. I'm not concerned about them. They're not jumping kids anymore, right? This is not something that's relevant to my life now. But like, no, when I was growing up in San Francisco,
sure,
if you see all the like 13-year-old wannabe gangbanger dudes,
yeah,
definitely be concerned, because they're trying to prove how tough they
yeah.
are, and they jump anybody and everybody.
Yeah, they've just gotten the toolkit, and they don't even know how to use any of the tools. They're just excited to do something with them.
And that is the Warped Tour crowd right there. It's a bunch of like kids who are like, all these guys have dyed black hair and they're screaming a lot. Must be cool. Oh, I heard drugs are cool. That must be cool. Then they're all super wasted and they don't understand. Like, they haven't learned how to pace themselves.
Exactly.
Or
how to be like gracefully drunk in public. They're like, I'm going to throw up and fight you.
You are experts at being gracefully drunk in public.
I mean, look, if there's one thing that we know how to do, it's to be gracefully drunk in public.
Sure.
I'll talk to my I'll talk to your grandma drunk, and she's going to be like, what a charming young man.
Yeah. Like the last time we were drunk in public, not that long ago. And, you know, like, I don't think I had a single, like, you apparently had people coming up to you telling you how drunk you were.
Yeah.
I didn't have that experience. Like, people
you did
were,
not.
You know, just wanted to say hi.
Although most people, I think, that were telling me how drunk I was also were watching me drink. So, like, they also knew. Like,
they were taking tabs.
They could just do the math and figure it out. Like, it wasn't a secret. Backlash was last night.
Yeah.
Unfortunately, not named for how upset you were that this festival was canceled, but rather an event at the Prudential Center where, look, there was a great match. We can all agree there was a great match, right?
There was a great match. There was a couple of matches I really enjoyed.
I really enjoyed most everything I saw. I will say that Kevin Owens and Sami Zayn, man, did they do everything that they could to distract from the fact that nobody knows what the fuck Bobby Lashley is doing there. Bobby Lashley seems like somebody that just got off the wrong bus. And like is he's like, okay, so just let me know, what am I doing? Am I gonna fight him? Like, am I gonna hug him? Like, you want me to? I mean, am I? So should I just join Titus Worldwide now, or like, should I wait later until that's inevitably where you put me? Like, they have no idea. I kept expecting him to attack Braun and set up a big
old... I was hoping for that, too. I was hoping for the... Because, you know, at this point, who else makes a lot of sense for Braun to fight, right? Well, another huge guy. Here he comes, joining the WWE. Point me at the other huge guys. Let's go.
And didn't it seem like they thought that that was happening? Like, Braun kept looking back at Lashley and being like, so are you going to, like, punch me in the butt or something? Like, where's this? Where does this begin?
No, they're just going to kick Kevin Owens and Sami Zayn's ass and whatever. Look, you know, it's funny. People complain about this match more than any other, I think. And I'm with everyone on, like, some things don't make sense here. But I just find Kevin Owens and Sami Zayn entertaining. And I find Braun Strowman entertaining. And I just was watching them be entertaining. Bobby Lashley did seem a little bit like he was confused.
Yeah, I just don't know. I'm as confused as he is. Like, what are we even doing here?
But this match, I didn't hate this match. Like, when I saw people like saying they hated it, I was like, it kind of did what I thought it was gonna do, which was not much.
Look,
right?
I don't want to get into all this. All I'll say is this: that was a fine show. It shows you how much talent that roster has right now. Was it the best that all that talent can do? No.
Was it
a fine evening at the Wrestling Palladium? Sure.
Well,
I don't know.
The problem, I think, the overall problem, I think, for me anyway, was that a lot of it just felt like a SmackDown or a Raw. Like, it didn't feel like a pay-per-view, right? And I get that. When people are watching pay-per-views, they're like, they expect more. They expect bigger things. And this just felt like a kind of holdover. I mean, we just had two events in a row.
Yeah, right?
Like, really close to each other. We had WrestleMania and Greatest Royal Rumble. I didn't necessarily expect the very next pay-per-view after those two things to be like the greatest thing of all time. So I went into it with rather low expectations. None of the build-up, like the matches were not built up that much. There was, I mean, Samoa Joe and Roman, sure, maybe there's some hatred going on there. That's something to be excited about. Obviously, AJ and Nakamura, but I also felt like Backlash isn't their blow-off match. Like, this isn't like the thing that finishes their feud. I'm sorry, I don't expect this feud to be done here. And there's a lot to, like, to me where I was like, I expect what I got. I expected all the titles to basically stay on the person who had them.
Yeah.
And I expected, like, just, you know, some fun moments here and there. One of the funnest moments for me was just, like, the whole Elias segment, like, and that felt very SmackDown to me too, and I was like, I'm fine with it. So,
yeah, it was. Yeah, it was a big old gangbang of like, let's just play 50 different theme songs, and I have no idea why. I just need a glass encasement that just says like, please break glass to get a conga line for No Way Jose. Sure. Like, you just don't need it all the time. Special occasions, a conga line is great. I like the fact that the conga line had other people in it, right? That had like
Titus Worldwide.
Titus Worldwide and Fandango and Tyler Breeze. It was good, but you don't need it all the time. In general, I thought it was fine for that. Look, I'm a simple man, Willie Dills. Whenever two of the best wrestlers of their generation can simultaneously athletically kick each other in the dick as hard as they can, I'm going to enjoy the moment. Like, yeah. I was fine with that being the end of that match. Sets up an even more high stakes match for them going forward.
Well, I mean, the pop when AJ finally retaliated.
Yeah.
And not got one in the balls. Like, to me, that was, like, the highlight of the whole thing. It was like, yeah, finally he's fighting back, right? So, I didn't expect this to be the match that ended their feud, the greatest final match that we've all been looking forward to. I don't understand why people did expect that to happen at Backlash. Like, we got Money in the Bank coming up in Chicago.
Which?
That seems like a good place to maybe have their big final, like, giant match, right? Sure.
Yeah.
So, I gotta tell people, wrestling fans, stop trying to point out rules. Stop. Like, they're like, no DQ. Why is there a 10 count? Stop. Just stop. Just stop. We're past this now, right? Like, we all understand that the outcome is predetermined, right?
Yeah.
Do you all get that?
Why were there rope breaks in Jericho Omega?
Yeah. Come on. Just stop. It's just enough already. Whatever. And then, you know, people putting slow-mo video of Reigns spearing Brock through the damn chamber. Like, it's like, just stop, you guys. Like, it's wrestling. They can do – this is the beauty of it, is that you can do whatever you want. You can make up any stupid-ass rules. It would never see a sanctioned actual MMA fight where two people tie a rope with a cowbell in the middle of it to each other and then have a fight. But you know you can do that? You can do it in wrestling.
Listen, man, Yadier Molina had to have emergency surgery for damage to his dick and balls because he got hit by a baseball in his junk.
Mm.
Nut and dick trauma are in the news, and they made a wrestling story about it. It's fine.
It
did you see how simultaneously they cracked each other in the nuts?
Yeah, that was
like
that
was the like fucking ballet.
Exactly.
The Nutcracker. I didn't even plan that.
You get one of your friends, everybody out there, get one of your friends together. Try to simultaneously kick each other in the balls.
There we go. Tag goes. At Justin R. Young and at Willie Dills. We want you to try to kick each other in the balls as hard as you can.
At the exact same time.
At the exact same time.
That's key.
Yeah. I'll bet you you can't get it. I bet you can't even get it close.
No, hell no. Remember the Jackass segment where I think it was Ryan Dunn and what was the guy who was the skater guy? Bam Margera.
Yeah.
They attempt to run at each other and hit balls. Straight
into balls.
They couldn't do it. They tried so many times, and they could never actually do it. Well, Nakamura and AJ just did it live in front of a huge arena.
Because, by the way, you don't get a second shot.
No.
Like, that's a one and done. It's over. You better get it right.
If you don't pull it off, you just look like an idiot, right? Just one of you gets kicked in the balls and the other doesn't.
I mean, because really, you got to go for it. Or you're just the guy who got kicked in the balls. And that's
if you think about it, this might be the greatest moment in all of wrestling history. Biggest spot in wrestling history. Give me a bigger one.
Name one. I'll wait. Yeah. The biggest moment in wrestling history was a simultaneous front kick to the dick. I mean, whatever. Fine. Backlash. Money in the Bank's coming up. We got this other stuff. One more thing. I just want to get into that.
I got one more thing I want to talk about.
All right. Here. Let me say this.
Sure.
You only get one bitch. Either there's too many fucking pay-per-views and you're sick and tired of having every Sunday be taken up by a pay-per-view, or not everybody's going to be on every pay-per-view. You can only pick one, okay?
Well, now they've combined Raw and SmackDown as well, so yeah. As far as pay-per-views are going. So, yeah, there's even less room.
So it's like, no matter what, you're going to wind up having, if you have less pay-per-views, more meaningful SmackDown and Raws, hopefully, right? You're able to blow off more feuds on free television, which I think everybody would be fine with, because it wouldn't mean that like, you know, things would actually change on the main show. I think it'd be fine, but you can only pick one.
Yep. You don't get to complain about every single thing. All right. I want to talk real quick about how little they're protecting the brain of Daniel Bryan.
Okay.
Because
DB goes up against Big Cass
over and over and over again in this match with Big Cass. And I actually really enjoyed this match, too. I liked that Daniel Bryan. It very much made me go, like, I cringed a few times when he hit the ground. I'm like, his back of his head is hitting the mat, like the old way that he used to do it all the time before having to, you know, get medically cleared to come back into the ring.
Yeah.
I kind of felt like we were just going to see a lot more of Daniel Bryan just suicide dives, yes, kicks, kicking in the corner, flipping off of the turnbuckle, all that kind of stuff, and not a lot of him just getting body slammed hard to the ground. But it showed me like he was fine. He kept going. He's fine. This to me is like a really good sign that they feel confident enough to just have him go out and have a wrestling match in a way that makes sense against someone like Big Cass, where you shouldn't have Big Cass not hit some power moves on Daniel Bryan.
You have to. Like, that's literally that position. That position is.
And I like the way that they had Daniel Bryan actually figure out a way to win, which was, you know, finally get him grounded.
Yeah.
Get him into the yes lock. And then Big Cass was still fighting against it. Daniel Bryan just starts knocking the hell out of his head and then finally gets him in and he taps out, like, almost instantly. It makes Daniel Bryan look like the superior wrestler.
Yeah.
It still makes Big Cass look like a freaking monster who can manhandle people if he gets the chance.
And that's ultimately
that
what
that was a really well done match.
That's what that fight, that match is there to reintroduce Big Cass, and there's nobody that's gonna reintroduce you better than Daniel Bryan.
Sure.
And to keep Daniel Bryan away from the Miz, because that's obviously the big feud that they want to eventually drive toward.
Yeah. And we got Miz and Seth Rollins, which I think everybody agrees was just freaking awesome. So,
I don't know what is going on with Seth Rollins right now. Like, this dude is like, the crowd and him,
everything's clicking.
Fucking Stone Cold Steve Austin in 96 mixed with Bret Hart
all at once. And I gotta say, I was not a fan of Seth Rollins as a face, but he is proving to me that he can pull that off just as well. Cause I loved his heel. Like, that heel run with the title was
Authority
one of
Rollins.
Like, yeah, I mean, that was like still fairly new to me, kind of getting back into wrestling where I was watching it every single week, right?
Yeah.
Like, and it really made me feel like I'd made the right decision to watch Seth Rollins be the most chicken shit heel ever with the title, still look like a badass, all that stuff. And then when he turned face, it was kind of out of nowhere. Oh, suddenly he's friends with the Shield guys again, whatever. But now we've kind of gotten beyond all of that to just him being just like AJ Styles levels of like just being awesome at everything he does.
I don't know what it is, man. He is just like, his gimmick is he walks out, the crowd hails him like he just liberated the town. He has an amazing match that goes for 60 minutes and everyone ejaculates simultaneously. Like, it's
at this point, most of the crowd would let him sleep with their wives, right? That's basically what
they're like. That's a chant that happened last night. Like, yeah. Just this is, fuck my wife. Fuck my wife.
Yeah, this is that fucking Will Ferrell basketball movie or whatever, where the guy's like such a fan, and he's like finding out his girlfriend's sleeping with him. He's like, oh my god, that's great. That's fine. I love it. Yeah, Iggy loves it too. Iggy's very excited about it. Hey, come here.
Oh god!
But anyway, I just wanted to point out Daniel Bryan getting his head slammed into the mat was to be
uncomfortable,
scary, you're, and also comforting at the same time.
You're not the first person that said it, but at the same time, he's got to wrestle the style that he knows, right? Because if you're trying to do something that you're not aware of, that you're not comfortable with, then you're just not going to have the kind of matches, and you're prone to injury. And number two, sure. Look, the hope is that you have a few of these matches where you're like, I'm not comfortable with this, and then eventually you do, you know?
And also,
it gets back to normal. It's not a novelty that is wrestling anymore. It'll be just a thing that happens.
Yeah, like I think I don't want it to always just be the nobody's talked about it when their WrestleMania thing, because I think, you know, DJ Action Report is like the true wrestling fan out of their little group.
Yeah.
And, you know, Lady Berica and what's the other name? They're more new, right?
Yeah.
So when they watched the WrestleMania match with Daniel Bryan, they were commenting on this match seemed like it was all about feeling nostalgia about this guy, Daniel Bryan, and we don't feel that. And so it was hard for us to get into that match.
Yeah.
We can't have that be what Daniel Bryan's career at this, like this next stage of his career is all about, is just sure. being like, oh my God, thank God he's wrestling again. Like, he needs to just put on good matches again, right? At some point, that's what needs to happen. So, yeah, we're all just very happy to see him. But at some point, we just want to see him be awesome as Daniel Bryan.
So, speaking of big casts, restless but enthusiastic crowd last night. And among the chants that big cast got, the returning big cast was a We Want Enzo chant.
This crowd was trolling the shit out of the show, dude.
Yeah, listen, man, if you had to drive back and forth to fucking Newark, you would be upset about it, too.
all right, fair enough.
That is that place.
Apparently, there's a lot of busing and trains going on that I don't know about, so.
No, number one, the Meadowlands are, like, impossible to get to. And Newark's a little bit better because you can get on trains and stuff, but even then, it's a pain in the ass. But there was a We Want Enzo chant. You threw in the doc here, a very cryptic Enzo Instagram post that went up last month. What where'd you find this and what drew you to it? Explain.
Well, all right. So I had seen. I don't actually follow Enzo on Instagram. I don't really pay much attention to Instagram. I probably should more. It seems to be like a very popular social media these days. But yeah. It was one of those things that was there. I'd seen it, but I didn't really pay much attention. And then there was a Booker T YouTube video, Booker T shoots on Enzo possibly retiring from professional wrestling. And
by the way, we should name every episode of this Jury and Dill shoot hard.
Yeah,
on blank.
Right, yeah. If we really want to get the views, we need to start shooting harder, man.
Yeah, we need to shoot a lot harder. We're not even close to the kind of hardness that we need to shoot.
So basically the Instagram post itself is a picture of a pair of clearly Enzo's Nikes, which, you know, he didn't wrestle in wrestling boots. He wrestled in like basketball sneakers.
Yeah.
And, you know, they got like the graffiti style paint on them, the very brightly colored stuff going, and they're hanging over a telephone wire, which anybody who grew up in a city knows. When you're done with a pair of shoes, you tie the laces together and you throw them over a telephone wire, and then they sit there forever and those shoes are done.
You can look up and remember.
Yeah.
Hey, I had those shoes.
I remember those shoes.
Look at that.
So, you know, Enzo can't obviously have one final WWE match, take his Yeezys off and leave them in the middle of the ring. So instead, it looks to me like this is him saying, I'm hanging up my shoes, which is a way that wrestlers, you know, they say hanging up the boots.
Hanging up my boots.
Yeah. So this, he also says that the caption or whatever is just thank you. Sounds like Enzo's decided to give it up. Now, this, to me, doesn't necessarily surprise me because getting let go by WWE, I don't feel like Enzo is the guy who wants to grind it out in the indies. He just doesn't ever, he's never struck me as that.
No.
So unless he got like picked up to some big impact contract or, you know, New Japan or something, and I don't see those companies feeling like they need a guy like Enzo.
You don't think that he wouldn't fit in New Japan?
I don't think New Japan is his.
You don't think that's Enzo Amore territory?
Yeah, they're not. I don't think the Japanese audience is going to take to really fast worded English promos.
Sure,
with a lot of catchphrases. Yeah. Now, Impact, maybe I could potentially see something there. Ring of Honor, okay, he could do something kind of fun over there, but he just seems to me like he's the guy who's going to always be like, "Hey, I went to the top." And he's going to tell. He's going to be now. A guy who burns out quickly doing something else. He's going to be like nightclub appearance guy. This is going to be his new career.
Well,
right?
So here's the conundrum for Enzo. And also, let's say apropos of nothing, no matter what he posts on Instagram, he's still on the hook for, you know, that ape ray charge that he's still being investigated for. If you're Enzo, what he wanted to do allegedly was to be a rapper. He wanted to parlay his WWE fame into a music career.
All right.
I mean,
I've never heard him rap, but I've heard him talk. He talks, you know, quickly and rhythmically, so maybe.
There's a freestyle here. Let me see if I can find the freestyle.
All right, the Enzo
and then
freestyle.
Maybe we can play that. Enzo freestyle. He was freestyling on Hot 97's.
With
Ebro
Sway
in the morning
or whatever. Is that the one?
Yeah, here we go. Let's see. Here we go.
When? It's not a matter of if, it's a matter of when.
All right, that's him.
That's like he's warming up, right? This is like his, hey, yo,
yeah.
What up? Like how everybody starts a freestyle.
Here we go.
Yeah. I'm really good at doing that for like 10 minutes, passing the mic.
Yeah, all right, here we go. I don't know if you'll be able to hear this. Let me know.
But I've yet to meet my maker. Scrying. The devil is alive. Standing in a storm with a pitchfork to the sky. Under pressure, I perform in a pair of devil horns. Jersey devil. It wasn't lightning that struck. And I ain't pushed my luck. Yeah, I punched my luck. I weigh $185 and I'm all fighting. Why? And the scale don't lie. And my eyes don't cry. Two things I ain't never been is a liar or a schmuck. Got my ducks in a row. Ain't my first rodeo. Gotta go with the dough. Hit a bump in the row. You got jack and you change like a flat. What? Hold up.
What? What?
Yeah. All right. You know, I've heard worse that have actually made semi-hit records. Right?
I mean, look, like in a world of Lil Xan and Post Malone.
Yeah.
There are.
You got Cash Me Outside Girl putting out records.
All right. Listen, number one. Some of those Bad Baby records are not bad. I'm just saying. Cash Me Outside Girl might have a career.
Yeah. All right.
But
if you got a gimmick, you might have a career. That's the thing. And
but
so,
here's the problem.
Look, I personally wouldn't like it.
He has a career.
I probably won't buy his record. I'm not everybody.
He has a career because he had the platform. If he doesn't have the platform, I don't think he has a career.
Yeah.
And so I don't give a fuck what he wants to do. Right?
Sure. He didn't make his own luck, though. He punched his own luck.
He punched his own luck.
I don't know what that means.
What?
I don't know what the hell was going on with those lyrics. Anyway, look, I think you're right.
Hold on.
Somebody needs
maybe
to take
maybe
a
we didn't
on
give it,
guy.
Dills, we didn't give it enough of a chance. Hold on.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, no.
Hold up, yeah, you roll up on the donut, getting slow bucks. What's the hold up? All I gotta do is show up. People go nuts, get more butts than an ashtray. Yeah, I do it in a big way, all day. Never stop for a cop on a Segway. Hot.
Never stop for a cop on a Segway.
Why would you? Yeah.
I mean, yeah, it seems a bit aggressive. It's a little deferential to the cops if you roll it up on a Segway. He's a donut.
Yeah, he's a donut. All right. I mean, look. Like I said,
maybe
I've heard
we should
worse.
Play more. All right, hold on. Yeah, if you want it, let's play more though.
9-7.
Enzo Amore, ladies and gentlemen.
All right, that was it.
Well, he got claps and everything. Like, I think the crowd in that radio booth was just excited that he actually did it. You got to give him credit for that.
Here, let's hear the full reaction to Enzo Amore ending his freestyle.
Big way. Hot 9-7.
Enzo Amore, ladies and gentlemen.
Bada boom bars, kid. Bada boom bars.
Enzo drops bars, and you can catch him at Madison Square Garden busting.
Right into the plug, Peter Rosenberg. Wow. Right into the plug. Let's not talk about what just happened at all. Let's get right into the plug. So
all right,
that needs
a little DJ Khaled in the background.
DJ Khaled.
And then I think you got a hit. You got a hit on your hands.
Well, he gave him the Funkmaster Flex explosion sounder. So at least there's that.
Okay. All right.
Look, man, I think Enzo's got to get his fucking life together. To be honest, I saw that when it first came out because I do follow him on Instagram. I worry that he was like going to kill himself.
Yeah. I mean, he seems like he's either going to find his footing somewhere else. Turn his act around, turn his life around, figure it all out. Or he's going to go down a very dark path, and it's going to end very badly for him.
Well, considering the crowd he was running in, that's a party crowd.
I don't think he needs to transition directly into the hip-hop crowd and start, you know, like drinking scissorp and stuff. Like, I think he maybe needs a break from all that.
What do you think would be a good job for Enzo?
A good job for Enzo?
Like, we're his very concerned friends. We want to get him a good, safe job, a good career. Nursing school, maybe.
Mm. I think band leader on the Eric Andre show.
Band leader on the Eric Andre show? Yeah.
Yeah. Actually, you know what I think? I think he should be, just embrace it and just become a Jersey guy. And just have a construction job.
That's
and
it.
Then on the weekends, hit up the Jersey Shore, you know? Just be that guy.
Just make
brag about how sweet your car is because you make $40 an hour. Busting your ass.
I mean, he's gonna be
week long.
He's gonna be at wrestling conventions, right?
Oh yeah. I mean, like, this is why I said, like, I think his actual what he's gonna start doing is he's just gonna be like that guy from the Kardashian, whatever. What's the guy who married one of them? And then basically his job
Kanye
is show
West?
At nightclubs. It's like Disick.
Oh, Disick. Scott Disick. Yeah.
Scott Disick. So he married like the third Kardashian sister.
Peggy, yeah. Peggy Kardashian.
Peggy, yeah. Carly Kardashian. and he basically, I think he just makes his money like going to nightclubs where it's ridiculous. They give people like $10,000 just like
no,
show up.
No, but again,
there
he can do it because he's on television.
Yeah.
Enzo's not on television anymore. When Enzo, like, you know, there was like a bunch of stuff, like when the Floyd Mayweather, fight, Conor McGregor fight happened, Enzo was like on his Instagram story showing off his like $30,000 ticket or something. And he was like obviously wasted, just yelling at Conor the entire time. He's getting comped that. Because he's like probably doing an appearance at one of those pool parties or something during the day.
Sure.
And then, you know, goes and gets that comped at night. That all ends when he's not like all that crowd is flowing from his money.
Sure.
And he's got the money because he was on TV.
There is this whole nightclub culture around having these like B-list celebrities show up at your place. And I think that still exists for him. And maybe he can find a way.
Would
to
you go? All right.
Rekindle it. So
I'm
he,
gonna.
What like, if he? What if he just starts like another reality show, like on some, like on True TV, right? I could see
if
this
he,
kind
if
of thing
he
happen.
Can get that. If he can get that, then yeah, no, it would be a big thing. Let me ask you this though. Let's play a little game. Enzo Amore has a nightclub appearance, and you, Willie Dills, are in Vegas, and you're going to go to a nightclub that night. I'm going to give you...
So this is a truly hypothetical situation.
A truly hypothetical situation. You are determined. Maybe there's somebody you're with. They're like,
never do.
Like, all right. Let's say, well, let's invent a foreign friend of ours, and okay. they're coming to Vegas
we'll
for the
him
first
Billy
time.
Billy Gills. Will they're Billy from, Gills?
They're from Budapest, and they're like, I want to go to American nightclub, and we're like, all right. So we have a choice now. Me and you, we can either go to a nightclub where Enzo Amore is announced as the headliner. Or Scott Disick.
Oh.
Which nightclub appearance do we go to?
I take Enzo Amore.
So you clearly. Go Enzo.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. All day.
All right.
EA all day.
EA all day. No, we have more. All right. What about Glenn Jacobs, mayor of Knox County? Oh. Nightclub appearance. Do you go to Enzo's nightclub appearance or Kane's nightclub appearance?
I go to Kane's nightclub appearance.
Even
if
the middle of it, he's going to talk about taxes and why you should
move
to Tennessee.
Even if he gets up and does a stump speech, yeah, I'm still going to Kane's nightclub appearance. For
you
sure.
know, when the fine folks of Knox County elected me their mayor, they told me to drop that beat.
His campaign involved like he was going to burn everybody's house down unless they voted for him, right? Like he has to bring in the born in hell and born of fire and all that kind of stuff, I think. I think here's the thing. The thing is, yeah, me and you are of a mindset that if there is even a B-list celebrity wrestler showing up,
yeah,
which
we're
he
going.
Absolutely is, I will choose the wrestling entity over the non-wrestling entity every single time. Because also it's the novelty of it. And I think that's one of the reasons why this ever became an industry in the first place.
Yeah.
It's the novelty of it, right?
Sure.
Like, who cares about Scott Disick? Even if he is on TV, he's barely on that show, by
exactly.
the way. The show's not, you know, keeping up with the Disicks, right?
No.
It is, he is a minor character at best. And yet he still somehow has that as a career and gets paid ridiculous amounts of money.
But you're saying is anytime a minor wrestler is anywhere, it's music to our ears. And that music sounds like this.
I run my mouth on the track and I throw the disc. Kiss got a lot in the vault. If you try and diss this, watch your broad jump.
All right.
He said pull the discus?
I don't know. No one knows.
He's somehow rapped about disc guy. All right.
I got a bartender question for you.
Okay. Yeah, I'm with it.
So Deadspin did this thing, ranking all the mixed drinks.
Like cocktails or like.
So
just,
here's how they described drinks. It. What contains a mixed drink? Here's the following criteria. Mixed drinks are a basic ingredient.
Sure.
And rail liquors.
Yeah, okay.
And it
can
be served in a plastic cup.
So gin and tonic.
Exactly.
Vodka soda.
So let me give you you want the top 10 here?
Yeah, give me the top. Actually, I just pulled up the link here.
I'll give you. Don't look at it if you haven't looked at it, because I want to get your reactions here.
I kind of glanced. I see the top one that they have, but I haven't looked at this.
Number 10, Jack and Coke.
Sure. But
feels
Jack
low.
Is not,
feels
Jack
low.
Jack is not the rail liquor in a lot of bars. Just FYI, if you say Jack and Coke at a lot of bars, you will get upcharged.
Gotcha.
A lot of bars are going to be using Old Crow and things like that as their well.
So yeah, whiskey Coke is really the better.
Whiskey Coke is the real thing, but Jack and Coke is like super common. Yeah, because my bar uses Jack as our well. So
that is the well. Now, all right, so here we go. Number 9, whiskey soda. I feel like this is an upset. Whiskey soda over a Jack and Coke. I feel like I've seen far more Jack and Cokes get served in my life than whiskey sodas.
Yeah, whiskey soda is actually a pretty rare order. And a lot of times people will say that. And if I actually make them a whiskey soda, which is just whiskey and club soda.
Yeah.
Sometimes I bring it to them and they say, oh, I meant Coke. Like I said, soda meaning Coke.
Yeah,
but they maybe heard whiskey soda at some point in their life and just assumed that was like Jack and Coke.
And that was
Jack and Coke. This is an upset. Jack and Coke should definitely be above whiskey soda.
Okay, vodka definitely. Cranberry, number 8.
That's a classic. Yeah, this classic. Okay. If you're trying to lose weight,
yep,
vodka crans.
That's it, all day.
Yeah, cleans out your flushes your system. You know, And gets you drunk.
Number seven, rum and coke.
Rum and coke, yeah. If you put a lime in it, it's the Cuba Libre.
Yeah.
If you say Cuba Libre, the bartender might go, huh?
Yeah.
They say rum and coke with a lime.
So don't say it.
Yeah, no, this is a good one. This is a good one.
All right, yeah. I also
recommend
think...
doing it with a spiced rum, perhaps a Captain Morgan's.
Mahoy. yeah, so rum and coke, I feel like that's properly rated at seven, might have even gone higher.
Yeah.
Screwdriver number six.
Okay, OJ Cran. Yeah, sure. Okay, it's refreshing.
Wait. There's Cran in a screwdriver?
No. Screwdriver. Oh, sorry. Orange juice vodka.
Yeah, orange juice and vodka. Yeah.
Yeah.
Now, here's the thing with a screwdriver.
A sea breeze, a bay breeze, and a what's the other one? There's one more. These are all like orange or cranberry vodka based with juice.
With another juice in it. How many screwdrivers do you think you've served in your life?
Ballpark. Not that many. It's not a very common order these days.
I feel like it's like an under 10. I was shocked to see it on this list. Like I feel like at some point people drank it in the 70s and 80s, and then they just knocked it off because nobody needs all that fucking acid in their system at 9 o'clock at night, right? It's like, I want to get drunk, but I also want heartburn.
Sure. It's one of those things like orange juice, you know, obviously like orange juice champagne. Great mixture. Orange juice vodka, totally fine. The problem is that, it's very citrusy and tart. And it's one of those things, if you're at a college party and there's a giant bottle of Tito's on the table and some OJ in a carton, you mix that shit up.
Sure.
But at a bar, it's super rarely ordered. Like so rarely.
All right,
I barely ever make those.
Let me get into some controversy here. These are the top five.
Okay, top five.
Gimlet number five.
Okay, well, Gimlet, no, this is bad.
Get the fuck out of here with a Gimlet.
Gimlet is not even.
If they hadn't named that podcast network that all these fucking scarf wearing hipsters are consuming like it was fucking pellets in a maze, then nobody would even know what a fucking Gimlet was.
Okay, a Gimlet is, a really good drink, but it doesn't fit their definition of what they're doing right now, because a gimlet is not just a rail liquor and a basic ingredient. A gimlet is simple syrup, lime juice, and gin shaken up in a tin and strained into a chilled cocktail glass. Like, it's not even on the radar of this. This is an actual cocktail.
All right. So already this is just a
horseshit. Yeah, so throw this
list.
One out. This shouldn't even be on the list, period.
Number four, a Greyhound.
Okay. Greyhound, that's better than, I like that better than a screwdriver. That's just grapefruit juice.
Grapefruit juice and vodka.
Yeah. Greyhound definitely, like, it's not going to give you the heartburn. Especially if you can get, I like it with, like, a ruby red style grapefruit juice rather than, like,
so
a little harsh
tart,
grapefruit
a little
juice.
Sweet. Yeah. There's apparently a place around my place in Oakland that does, like, a good Greyhound. But again, this is one of those things where I feel like everyone wants to be too cute. Like, get out of here with a Gimlet and a Greyhound. I mean, like, I think that they might be good. But, like, the fact that a Jack and Coke is not in the top five is just ridiculous.
I would definitely, Jack and Coke is something I get ordered. Like, I like a Greyhound. I can't remember the last time somebody ordered it.
No.
Yeah.
Like, these are people that just shit on, like, the Big Mac. Look. Big Mac's had the best burger ever made, but doesn't stop everybody from ordering it a million times a day, every single day. It's comfort food. This is comfort drinking. I'm feeling bad about myself. I'm not trying to get some grapefruit juice in my life because it's going to give me antioxidants.
Now, I saw what number one is, and it makes sense to me, but there's one that I actually think is number one, which
all right,
isn't
well, here,
there,
let's,
and I'm hoping
let's,
it's in the next couple.
Let's go to the top three. Number three, Whiskey Sour.
Okay, that is commonly ordered from me. I will say this, though. If you go to a bar and order a whiskey sour, I want everyone to be aware of what you're probably going to get.
Okay.
You're going to get an ounce and a half of whiskey, and then they're going to fill the rest of the glass up with essentially margarita mix. That is what you are going to get.
So it's
that
just
is not actually a whiskey sour.
It's just basically like if you just took a cotton candy and threw it in a bucket of water. Like, you're just going to get that in your whiskey.
This is how it started to be made, and it's really annoying, but technically what you're supposed to do is take whiskey and lemon juice and a little bit of simple syrup And you're supposed to mix that together. And you're shaking it and pouring it on the rocks. The reason why they're putting it into this category is because, yeah, commonly now in a shitty bar, that is what you're going to get. They're going to take a rocks glass, fill it with ice, ounce and a half of whiskey, rest with what is essentially margarita mix. So, yeah, be careful. Like, it makes sense because a margarita mix is kind of just a sweet and sour mix. It really kind of just is at this point. They're, like, pretty much interchangeable. But it's not going to be good. It's not going to taste good. You want lemon juice, simple syrup, whiskey, shake that shit over ice, pour it over ice. That's a really good whiskey sour.
All right, so you know the number one, but you don't know the number two.
I don't know number two, but I got hopes because there's one that I haven't heard you say. That
give me what you're hoping.
I'm hoping for whiskey ginger.
Oh, my God. Willie Dills, you fucking nailed it. Whiskey ginger, Whiskey ginger, number two.
So whiskey ginger is way better than a Jack and Coke. I recommend everybody who has not tried this, get out there, get yourself a whiskey ginger at a bar. It's just like the right flavors to mix together. And I will also recommend this, a dash of bitters. Angostura bitters, a dash. Not a lot, just a dash.
A dash of bitters for your whiskey ginger.
Then you want to do the whiskey, dash of bitters, then the ginger, because then the bitters is properly mixed in with the rest of the drink. If you put the bitters on top, it kind of just sits there and dissipates slowly into it, and it's kind of weird.
Now, this number one was controversial. Gin and tonic, number one.
It's a classic, man. It is a classic. I will say this, though. More common than the gin and tonic these days is the vodka soda. The gin and tonic, a lot of people don't like the quinine flavor of the tonic these days. It's a little bit bitter and over the top for them. And then obviously then when you mix gin in, you're getting like the pine needle flavor with the quinine flavor with the and then.
So here's the thing.
Not
number one,
as popular as it used to be.
Vodka soda, not even on this fucking fraudulent
list. Not even
list.
On that list. That is like the most common thing I make these days.
Vodka tonic and vodka Red Bull, but
so
no vodka
have,
soda.
Yeah, whiskey soda, but not vodka soda. That's crazy.
Here's all I'll say.
I'm looking at the list now.
I never fucked with a gin and tonic in my life, really.
No?
Until we went to the UK and made two tremendous realizations. Number one, the gin's commonly available at American bars throughout my entire life. I think lately, now every bar, because like it's easier to get craft liquors. Yeah. Like every bar's going to have a good gin, right? But just your Beefeater, you know, Tanqueray, it's what you've had your entire life. It's not the best. Also, tonic out of a gun and tonic in general is just bad. A good tonic, unsurprisingly, makes a good gin and tonic. If all we ever had was shitty watered down orange juice at bars, nobody would be drinking fucking screwdrivers because you'd be like, oh, this is bad. It just tastes like vodka and water with a little lemon flavor in it.
I'm with you, man. I think, you know, personally, as a bartender, I like the gun because it makes me able to, like, make drinks really fast.
Sure.
But if someone orders, like, a top-shelf gin and wants a gin and tonic, I would like to also have a small bottle of really good tonic water.
Yeah.
Right? That I can then
and
crack.
And you can get it easy
now. I'm about to charge that dude, like, $12 for it.
Yeah.
So I should probably give him... not out of the gun, potentially the syrup's not mixed properly type
you can just
water,
go on Amazon, get a Fever Tree or something like that. It's pretty cheap.
There you go.
It's good stuff. All
by the way, one thing that's also missing on this list.
What's that?
And I'm with you, by the way. Yeah, get like Beefeaters is not bad. It's good. And Tanqueray's fine. But just a good London dry gin and a good tonic, you're going to have a good time. But I will say, there's a couple things missing on this list.
Go ahead.
They don't have anything with ginger beer, which
so
like
they made a point to say that ginger beer is not included.
Really? That's
when they
weird.
Said basic ingredients, ginger beer is not a basic ingredient.
I disagree. I think it definitely is because you can get a Kentucky Mule, which is bourbon and ginger beer. You can get a Moscow Mule, which is vodka and ginger beer. You can get If they're calling a Bloody Mary something with a basic ingredient, I got to say bullshit on this because ginger beer is definitely more than like a, you know, a freaking tomato juice and Worcester sauce and, you know, friggin' Tabasco and salt and pepper and all the things that actually go into a Bloody Mary. Like,
yeah, right?
Considered just Bloody Mary mix.
Like, no one's mixing that shit themselves. Like, they're getting the goddamn the bottle of it, right?
Yeah. Yeah,
it's
exactly.
A bottle of it.
Yeah. Depends on what bar you go to. At a really good bar, they will put all of those ingredients together for
you. Oh, sure. But, yeah. No, but if you, yeah, if you're going to like a craft cocktail place or like a brunch spot where they're making their own shit, then yeah, no, definitely.
Yeah. But I think ginger beer has to belong here. Because it just, yeah, it's, I don't know. It's like, it's just, there's so many, like an Irish mule that's Jameson or some sort of other Irish whiskey with like the fact that there's so many different types, is weird. And then, yeah, vodka soda not being on there. Huge mistake.
Fucked
big,
up.
Big, big miss.
Fucked up.
Miss.
Well,
I like that whiskey ginger made it to number two though. I do think at this point, gin and tonic needs to be farther down the list. Whiskey ginger is like the one nobody ever orders that people should start ordering more often. Give it a go, guys.
I've always enjoyed a good Captain and or sorry no a whiskey ginger, or I guess even like I would do Captain and ginger, a Cap and gin.
Yeah, that's pretty good too.
It's a pretty good one. I like it.
Ginger ale is a really good mixer with a lot of different types of liquor. Like you do vodka ginger ale, it's actually still fine. It's basically like you're drinking ginger ale.
Yeah.
And then you get drunk.
It'll get you drunk. one more bit of news before we get into the shitty Melodica theme. Kevin Owens back 5 years now. Another
5 years. I mean, he's in his late 30s. So
is he?
I think so.
Give me a guess. I'll look it up. I'll look it up. But what do you think he is?
I'm going to guess he's 36. 36.
Kevin Owens is 34 years.
34.
Of age.
Okay, so mid 30s.
Year younger.
So that means,
than
yeah, he'll be there until he's 39. He doesn't seem like he's near the end for him at all. Like he's definitely going to keep going, but like this basically kind of locks him up for the most of the rest of his actual professional career, right? Like with his body type, how deep into his 40s do you think he goes?
Oh, I mean, it's not like he wrestles an inherently insane style.
No, that's true. He can do a lot more than he does. And right now he's definitely got a move set that I think fits his character and his body type, right?
Yeah, because does he even
he's
really
not doing
do,
as much of the high flying stuff?
Yeah, does he even like really do the frog splash anymore? Like I think
no,
he did
I don't
it
even,
at WrestleMania.
I can't remember the last time he did it. Yeah. Yeah. By the way, did you hear Keith Lee is like officially with WWE now?
He is. Yeah. Which I am very excited about because that means that we are ever closer to an NXT version of maybe the best match I have seen live, and that was Ricochet and Keith Lee.
Oh, yeah.
Loved that match when I saw it at WrestleMania weekend 2 years ago. So I am excited. I think those guys, just let them go. Like, I think that's a great North American title feud. That's a great – I mean, he's just great. Now, he's an older dude.
I think he's older than Kevin Owens. I'm
believe
guessing.
So. Yeah. No, yeah. I think Keith Lee, I think, is in his late 30s.
I'm looking now. Yeah, I think he's actually, no, it says 34.
Oh, shit. All right.
34 for him as well. All right. Well, then there interesting. You
go. I think Keith Lee's fantastic. To me,
I would like to see Keith Lee, Kevin Owens, by the way. Speaking of these two
I would
guys.
Like to see Keith Lee versus everybody. I am a huge, huge, huge Keith Lee fan. I think he's got a great charisma. And also he has like a very great kind of just big guy body type. Like he almost like if he's like a black Dusty Rhodes that can move, that can like suicide dive. Like he's crazy. He's the best.
I don't know how much they're going to let him do the stuff that he does in the indie shows where he like really shows off what he's capable of, but he doesn't need to. If he does like one or two of those moves continuing on through WWE and NXT, that's going to be enough because it's the watching a guy of his size move that with that much agility, it's like it's pretty impressive. And so just let him do like a couple of those moves. You don't have to let him do all 20 of them like they do at PWG.
Sure.
But, you know, just a few of them, and he's going to go places for sure.
I mean, considering how much they let, like, Big Damo fly.
Oh, yeah. 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 Oh, God. Big demo, Keith Lee. Woo.
Whoa.
We got some stuff. We got some stuff, some possibilities in the pipeline here.
We got some studs.
Yeah. Plug in the chat room says Matt Riddle. Yeah, Matt Riddle's, he's coming. He's coming.
Yeah. In fact, actually,
before it's too
Matt
late.
Riddle was in the news actually for having this to say about how close he's come to signing with WWE. We have that sound here.
Dumb ship, I kiss my fist, I let him fly. I cross my heart, I hope to die.
So, very cute.
He hopes to die. Oh no!
No! No!
He'd rather die than join WWE.
Get away from the light. He deleted all of his other Instagrams. It's literally just that one picture.
Yeah, it's that one picture now.
That's
right?
Why I
yeah.
was afraid. Somebody do a wellness check for Enzo. I swear to God, if he dies, we're going to see him like such fucking assholes on this show. So I want to make it clear that I love Enzo.
And yeah, I hope look, we're rooting for the
as
guy.
As long as he's not guilty of, you know.
We're rooting for the guy to be innocent and also to get
we're
his life
rooting
together.
For there to be a thorough investigation.
Yes.
And there to
that
be
proves
a
that this that actually didn't happen because we're rooting for that to have not happened. That would be terrible.
If
I
it
really,
did happen,
I, you know, look.
Then we hope.
And if it did, I'm rooting for him to pay the proper amount of justice for
yes.
it.
Yes. Short of death. I don't think I'm going to support the death penalty.
No, not in this case.
No.
Not in most cases.
Although maybe what if is at his sentencing? He said for himself.
Not worry about I stick a needle in my eye. Bet you never see me cry. Never see me.
Which,
you want us to kill you through by needle in the eye?
But you'll never see him
my
cry.
My client requests the death penalty by needle in the eye.
All right. Speaking of sounds, these are our shitty melodica themes. Our buddy Trey Warren does these every week. This was last week's.
Nope.
This was last week's, yeah.
Was it?
Yeah. Look in my eyes. CM
Punk.
Do you see? Yeah. Cult of personality. This is this week's. One more time.
The rhythm is almost there.
Yeah.
I think I know who this is.
You want to know what? I know the song. But I can't
place it.
I can't place it.
All right.
No, I know. It's like da 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 da. I don't know. The Reverend Puck in the
chat.
It'll
come to you. It'll come.
Says the melodica version of when Michael Scott stepped on the George Foreman grill.
I'll tell you this. Don't spend all your time thinking about it this week. Just spend part of the time.
All right. Let me just think about it out loud.
See me cry. I met a couple haymakers.
All right. Willie, a great show as always. What are you up to these days?
So we're doing some streaming. We got a big guest on the Angry Chicken tomorrow, Peter Whalen, who is one of the lead designers and was one of the big design. He was huge behind, I believe, Ungoro Crater was one of his babies. So you should definitely come check the show out tomorrow and check me out twitch.tv/WheelieDills or on Twitter @WheelieDills. And I'll be streaming some Hearthstones this week. I'm not going on any more trips until I come to San Francisco on the 15th, I think. So we got me and you got to talk about what's
going
to happen.
About what's
there,
going on.
We got to meet up. Yeah.
Well, yeah. I mean, Jesus, that's soon.
It's actually next week. It's a week from today.
So I'm not going on any trips until I go on another trip next week.
Yeah. So not a lot going on, you know?
Yeah, you know, it's a normal thing. Put it on the calendar. No, totally. Let's figure out something for that. Is that dude still on Team 5 or has he moved?
Yeah, no, he's still on Team 5. Yeah. Yeah, this is like an official Team 5 interview thing.
So are you going to probe him for broad stories?
We have official approved questions.
You do?
Yeah.
All right.
So I don't know how much probing I can do beyond those.
No probing.
We'll see what we can get away with, I guess.
Yeah. You can see maybe you can just maybe some ad libs. You know, maybe just get him talking.
If I can approach it with the right amount of caution and, you know, trickery. Maybe.
Yeah. The appropriate amount of caution and trickery. Why don't you just start playing the Enzo freestyle?
There you go.
That relaxes
stick
defenses. Stick
a needle in my eye. I'll be like, all right, I'll tell you anything.
Oh, shit. All right, everybody. That is twitch.tv/WillieDills. You can find me, twitch.tv/JustinRYoung or JustinRYoung.tv. I got a free political newsletter. It comes out 5 days a week. It's right there in your inbox when you wake up in the morning. You can go and sign up for it. It's free. You want to know where you can get it? FreePoliticalNewsletter.com. Again, FreePoliticalNewsletter.com. But until next time.
I want you to call me for all of wrestling's latest news and views. I've been around.
My name is Justin Robert Young. That's Willie Dills Gregory. This is 1-900 Wrestling. Remember to...
Wrestling!
Be dialing!
Stupid idiots.
They call me Hara!
Is cooking.
And his name is John C.
Well, look at this, prima donna.
Thank God, Donald Trump.
Diamond Club hopes you have enjoyed this program.